Welcome to episode 25 of the Transforma tu Inglés Profesional podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Smith. Today, I will be talking with Alistair, an amazing coach from my team, all about why politicians often step down because of a scandal, why businesses often branch out, why it is not only aeroplanes that take off, why it is important to figure things out in a business environment, and why business deals or projects sometimes fall through. This podcast is aimed at helping you push your business English communication skills to the next level so that you can grow professionally and achieve your international career goals. So without further ado, let's get straight into it. Enjoy! Hi everyone, today we're going to be talking about five phrasal verbs for business, and hopefully these particular five phrasal verbs will help you in your business context. As always, phrasal verbs, just a quick reminder about what exactly they are. They are always pretty much a verb and a preposition, and sometimes can be a verb and an adverb, okay? And so what we're going to do is we're going to cover five particular phrasal verbs that we think will be quite helpful for you. So as usual, Alistair is here with me. Hi, Alistair.
Hi, Daniel. Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Really well, thank you. Yeah.
Great.
After the holidays.
Right. Yes.
Back to the routine.
Yeah. Back to the grindstone, right?
Ah, that's a good expression. Back to the grindstone, yes.
Yeah.
We'll the need post-holiday, to cover that. What do they call them? Post-holiday the blues?
Blues, or, that's right.
Yeah. Blues meaning like sad or depressing, or like blues
that's right.
Music.
That's right. But hopefully you're not feeling too bad, right?
No, I'm not too bad. Back into the routine.
Yeah, good. Anyway, so we've set out sort of five phrasal verbs here that we think could be quite interesting to discuss, and we'll go through them bit by bit. So the first one that we kind of outlined was to step down. Now, what would you kind of understand by the phrasal verb to step down?
Okay. Well, I suppose if you think of it literally, you're imagining the stairs. And the stairs have a certain number of steps. Mm-hmm. And step down is you're stepping from one step down to a lower step. So that's a sort of literal image. But in the phrasal verb, what it means is somebody, for example, often used with politicians or people in positions of power. So it could be the CEO of your company or a politician or even a prime minister or president, perhaps. Doesn't happen very often. Decides to step down from their post or their position. So they voluntarily leave or give up their job, their post. So imagine, I don't know if it's the Minister of Education has decided to step down, which means they're no longer the Minister of Education. You can also say resign, dimitir. Mm-hmm. So you leave that post voluntarily. You're not sacked or fired or dismissed, which are words we've looked at in previous episodes.
That's
where you have to go because you are forced out of the position. But in this case, you decide to step down. Could be for family reasons, health reasons. Politicians often say to spend more time with my family, mm-hmm. which is often not true. It's an excuse. Or it could be because some kind of scandal. So
yeah.
It's a scandal, I know, corruption or something like this. And they feel that it's in the best interests for the party or for the leader or for the image of to step down. So to voluntarily give up and leave. Resign from that position, or
the
CEO of the company, the same, could decide to stop being the CEO for some reason.
Yeah. And in fact, we have actually thought of an example sentence for each one of these particular phrasal verbs. And I'll just read this out, the sentence that we thought for in this particular case, which is the CEO decided to step down from her position after the scandal, right?
Yeah.
So that's a standard way that we would use step down. In this case, we're obviously referring to a CEO, but as you were mentioning, often it can actually be connected to politicians. It is often very much connected to that sort of area of, you know, that type of profession. And in fact, recently, of course, with Boris Johnson, he also actually technically has stepped down, although it was very interesting because he, in his actual sort of resignation speech. He didn't actually mention the word resign once, I think.
So there you go. The scandals, I mean, like, of the famous parties at number 10.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. Yeah. So that's a good example.
I think sometimes it's stepped down, because I'm just imagining is you don't necessarily leave altogether completely, but you go down a step, a level in the hierarchy. So, for example, a prime minister, Boris Johnson, I presume, will continue in politics being a member of parliament.
Yeah.
But obviously stepping down from being the prime minister to a lower level, a lower step.
Yes.
So he'll still be in the parliament as a normal MP, member of parliament, like everybody else.
Yes.
But obviously he stepped down from the higher position of power, obviously being the prime minister.
Mm-hmm.
So I suppose with the CEO also, it could be they leave the company completely, or the idea of step down is you feel they're going to continue in the company but in a lower position.
Yes, and I think that's a good point to make, really, because that might be a differentiation between resigning completely and just stepping down, right?
Slight
and
difference.
There is a slight difference there, probably. But obviously, you know, in general, it's kind of a very similar sort of situation. And in fact, some people may, in fact, do both things at the same time, right? Mm. They may step down and resign, you know, because they feel as if, well, I feel as if I have to step down from my current position. But then even when I go down that step, I don't want to have that position either. So therefore, they step down and potentially resign too, you know. So,
completely, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's an interesting one. Certainly, you will hear that a lot on the news, right? A kind of different context that you would hear that, certainly about, you know, powerful people, certainly. And yeah, just important to know exactly what it means.
Voluntarily giving up power, I suppose, is a position of power.
Yeah.
So it's very often, as you say, use politicians and powerful people in companies. No, they're stepping down as the CEO or the whatever position it is in the company they hold,
mm-hmm.
to a lower position or disappearing altogether. No?
Yeah.
I think it's often they want to be out of, they want to take a lower profile for some reason, like a scandal.
Yeah.
So all the media is talking about this scandal and this person, and if they voluntarily step down and assume some lower position in the political hierarchy or the company, they disappear from the news and everyone stops talking about them and the scandal quietly disappears and things get back to normal. So it's often a strategy of the company or the political party to avoid or to, I don't know, to avoid, to make, stop the media talking about this scandal.
Yes.
Because if the person who's the focus of it has disappeared or quietly, you know, gone away to another position that is less, doesn't get talked about. No?
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. It's interesting. And like, certainly also I noticed here when I first moved to Spain that there was a general, I noticed that it was less common for people to step down in the UK, maybe less now, but many years ago, or like 10 years ago, it was quite common. As soon as something happened, like somebody, you'd imagine that the next day they would step down, right? Because they kind of felt, oh, well, this is not, their position is no longer tenable. That's a kind of like a really specific type of
untenable.
Expression. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, in Spain, people always said about that they found it strange that in Britain,
that's right,
and maybe USA, there's this political culture of resigning, stepping down because of some scandal. Just, you don't need very much. Well, I think this has changed, though, in recent
times. It has changed.
But now they don't. They
they just hold on to power.
Hold on to power as long as they can and just pretend nothing's happening and make excuses. But
that's
traditionally in British politics, they were very, very sensitive to any moral, particularly moral things, you know, sexual scandals, like someone's been accused of having an affair with their secretary or this kind of thing.
Sure.
Or cheating on their wife was like absolutely scandalous and they were virtually had no choice but to resign the next day to save the party further embarrassment and obviously any hint of corruption, just a little accusation, even without proof. Whereas in Spain, as we know, there's lots of people continue in power with, well, unless you're actually found guilty in a court of law and sentenced to prison, that's the only way usually they resign.
Then
they're not resigning. They have to go because they're going to prison.
Sure. Yeah, it was just slight difference that I noticed when I first came to Spain, that it was like, it wasn't quite so visible that somebody would just voluntarily give up their position, right? Or they would step down because of some particular issue, right?
People joked saying, I hear politicians never resign.
Yeah, sure.
Sure, sure. It's kind of interesting, definitely. Okay, so let's move on to the second one, which is to branch out. The second phrasal verb that we have is branch out. Now, this is an interesting one too, right? Because we've got that first word there, which is branch. And so maybe we should cover that first, Alistair.
Yeah, well, a branch is literally the branch of a tree, rama. Mm-hmm. So trees have branches usually. Now, obviously, those branches, as the tree grows, the branches grow and extend and get longer and further away from the trunk of the tree. So from that sort of metaphor or analogy is where we can use it in a with a phrasal verb to, well, or the other meaning of branch, which is, what would you understand not talking about a tree, but just the word branch in another context?
Yeah, this is obviously like, for some strange reason, like to my mind, something comes related to banks, okay? So like, where can I find a local branch for Santander, in terms of banking, you know? Yeah, that's right. Of course, branch in this particular case means sucursal, right? Sucursal, which would be where you have a local branch, you know? I need to have a local branch so that I can go and speak to my bank manager or whatever it might be, right?
Or you'd say how many branches, you know, Santander Bank or BBVA has, I don't know, 100 branches in Madrid. In different
That's
locations.
Right.
Or you expect every small town would have at least one branch of a major bank, which comes That's back to the tree. So I suppose the bank as the itself, the organization is the tree, the headquarters, no, the center. And then obviously it will have smaller parts of itself, smaller offices. You can call them offices as well, no? And they're the extending branches of the tree, if you like. So that's where the concept comes from.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And shops can have branches. So, you know, Zara will have, I don't know, thousands of branches all over the world.
Yeah.
Say, oh, there's three branches of Zara in Paris or New York or London. Or, so you wouldn't say sucursal then, would you? But you'd just say, I don't know, tiendas.
Yes, that's true. That's true. That's
and a company also has branches. You say, oh, we have a branch in New York, Singapore and Tokyo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or whatever. And then you wouldn't say sucursal. I suppose you'd say oficinas, I imagine.
Yes, you would. Yes, that's right. That's right. I mean, it's kind of has a connection with franchise as well. Of course, that's a technical, more technical in terms of exactly how those branches are set up, whether they are in ownership of the main company or whether it's a franchise process, right?
But yeah, franchise.
Yeah, franquicia, claro. But yeah, so that's a really great way to understand. If you understand that word branch in the first place, then you obviously you can think about the tree, think about the fact that different companies or particular banks have branches or local branches. But then in particular, you also have this phrasal verb that we're trying to explain, really, which is to branch out, right? Which is kind of like a diversification, or like if a company wants to diversify their products, right?
Yeah. So they want to sell something else or move into another area of business or economy. So maybe they're known for one thing, I don't know, Coca-Cola or whatever, but they decide they want to diversify and start moving into other areas and sell other kinds of products, not just fizzy drinks. And they might buy up other companies and they become, you know, part of the main company. So they're branching out into, I don't know, what Coca-Cola, into something completely different, into clothes or into...
Well, absolutely, absolutely. Right, that's right, exactly. Mm. And here I've actually got an example sentence again, just to kind of give a bit more context. So we came up with, they used to sell only shirts, but they've branched out into accessories. Okay.
Yeah, so, for example.
Yeah, so it just shows that the particular company has decided to move a little bit outside its particular market, let's say, and it's kind of moved into another sector where it feels that there might be some profit.
Business opportunity.
That they can, business opportunity, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, branching out can just be a little, so as you said, shirts, but then they start making other jeans or accessories. So you're still in basically the same sort of sector of the market, sort of clothing.
Yeah.
But you're doing something a little bit different than you did before, not just shirts, but shoes, accessories, etc. Or you can completely branch out in something completely different, no?
Absolutely.
So I know you're in the clothing business and then you decide to branch out into selling ice cream or, I don't know, something completely different.
That's right.
So, you know, diversification into other kinds of sectors of the economy.
Absolutely. Absolutely correct.
This is branching out. And it's the same concept of the tree. You know, you're extending the branches of the extension of the tree and you're extending your business into new areas or different parts of new markets or new countries.
Right.
Could be, you know, branching out from only selling in Spain to selling in the whole of Europe or in America.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And then, in fact, lots of our sort of coaching clients, they are in that situation. They want to build their business or something like that, and they have an existing market, maybe here in Spain or somewhere in Latin America, and they want to branch out into maybe to the UK market or to the American market or whatever. So yeah, absolutely. It can be moving from one sector to another sector, or moving a little bit within your sector, or it can be moving to another country developing a particular market. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's kind of just a sort of kind of very, very represented really by that tree in a way, isn't it? It's a very good metaphor, that whole idea of a tree and connected to the whole idea of business and how businesses start to grow and shape in different ways.
Yeah, and expand and
evolve,
you know, and evolution.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Good. So number three is to take off. To take off. Now, most of our listeners probably will know this one in a number of contexts, right? Probably the most famous one would be a plane taking off, right?
Yeah, despegar,
Despegar, yes, or despegando, yes.
That's right. And then also taking off things that are connected to your body.
That's right.
So like clothes. So anything you put on, shoes or trousers or shirts, and then the opposite of put on is to take off.
Quitar, that's right. No? Yeah.
Quitarse ropa, zapatos, or hat. You put your hat on and then you take it off. And also the plane takes off from the ground into the air.
Yeah.
Are the two, I imagine most people would know the use of that phrasal verb in those two aspects.
Absolutely.
But this is a different meaning.
It is. It's kind of still connected in some way into the way that a plane takes off, in the fact that obviously it kind of goes high into the sky, right? But if you think about that movement of a plane and how it goes up and up, that could be also represented on a graph, right? And you might be selling some sort of product, and what you can see is that you launch the product and essentially that product is a massive success and it takes off, just very much like the movement of that plane, right? And so, you know, some products won't take off and some of them will. And if you are looking for an expression to, you know, show that a particular product has been successful, then you could use that particular phrasal verb, right? To take off. It's taken off. This particular product has taken off. It's a massively successful, right?
I suppose, as you say, the idea from the plane, if the plane stays on the runway, on the ground, and doesn't take off, it's failed in what it's trying to do, which is to get off the ground and go in the air. And obviously go up, when you mention a graph, no? So the line of the graph starts to go up vertically, very steeply, no? Very highly.
Yeah.
Which would mean you're suddenly selling a lot of products.
Yeah.
In the way that a plane goes up.
That's right.
Your product has taken off, like a plane taking off.
That's
and become,
right.
Starting
Absolutely.
To become successful. You're selling more very quickly. It's becoming more popular.
That's right. And the example sentence that I have here is, his clothing line really took off, right? So obviously in this particular, it's kind of an interesting expression, that clothing line, but clearly this particular person sells clothes or has a clothing business, sells garments or whatever it might be. And the clothing line, which is kind of really an expression to represent a range of clothing products, right?
Yeah.
Has taken off. So it's done very, very well.
Quickly, I suppose. As
and quickly, yes, that's right.
Very suddenly and very quickly and starts to climb rapidly, very quickly to attain a certain height. No?
Yeah.
Then it's that idea, isn't it, that this product that you're selling has had some very sudden, very big success very quickly. No?
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. Fantastic. Yeah. So there you go. Take off can be used in three different contexts, but the one that we want to focus on here is when a product takes off, is successful. Okay. Mm-hmm. Number four, to figure out. Okay. Now, this is kind of like a really useful one, definitely in a business context. And, you know, it'll be helpful for many, many people. And we kind of came up with a number of different things related to that word figure, first of all, right? What can a figure mean generally, Alistair? A figure.
Well, a figure can be like a person, like the shape of somebody's body.
That's right.
So you could say, you know, I saw this figure approaching me through the fog. So when you see the shape of a person, very poetic there, knowing.
Yeah.
So there's a person at a distance. You can't quite see who they are. You can't see the details of their face. So you can't recognize them. But you see the form, the shape of the body of a human or a person coming towards you. So that's a figure. There was a lone figure coming out of the mist or something like this. No,
that's
and
right.
Figure can also be a number. So
it can.
Figures,
that's
if
right.
you're good with figures, say I'm very good at figures or good yeah. with figures. So
good
I'm good
figures,
at numbers,
yeah.
like an accountant right. or a, if you're good at maths. No, you're good with numbers. You're good at figures.
Yeah.
So there's two yeah. meanings.
Anything there was another one also with related to body shape, right? Mm-hmm. So she has a very good figure, for example. Yeah. It's made that like the is basically
shapely.
Kind of, yes,
so
it kind of goes back.
Form. Mm.
Yes. Yeah. Mm. It kind of goes back in a way to the whole idea of a silhouette, really, like the first one you were talking about, right?
Silhouette.
Yeah, yes. It's kind of the, in that way, it's kind of similar. And because if you see the figure coming from a distance, you only see the outline of that particular yeah. person, right? And this can also be related to body shape more specifically, especially in terms of maybe dieting or something like that, right?
To obtain probably a slimmer figure or more beautiful
that's right.
figure, a more attractive
that's right.
figure. Obviously,
yeah.
it's very subjective, but, you know. And often apply to women, unfortunately, more than men, perhaps. But that's a whole nother question of
yeah, that's another
the fashion
question,
industry
yes.
and all the rest of it. But
some
people, you know, are more obsessed with their figure, wanting to maintain a nice figure, attractive
yeah.
figure, which often
Good.
Involves, unfortunately, for many people, having to diet a lot.
That's right.
To maintain
right.
that figure, that
Good.
Attractive
Good.
Body shape.
Yeah. So that is the word figure, obviously, and the different meanings related to it. But then we got to figure out, right? Mm. Which is basically to find a solution, right? Buscar una solución. So, mm. and often in sort of business context or whatever professional environment you might be in, you have to find solutions, right? And that's why this particular phrasal verb is so useful, because you can actually go into a meeting and explain that you needed to figure out what to do and kind of then explain how you figured it out, right? And so it's just another way of amplifying, let's say, your vocabulary and getting the explanation across as to how you found a solution to a particular problem, right?
Yeah, you've got to figure it out. So you have a problem and you've got to find the solution. Think, use your mind, how to arrive to solve that problem. So you're figuring it out. No?
Yeah.
So how did you figure out how? So it's, I suppose, figuring out how to do something, like the method to solve the problem, or figuring out how to use something.
Yeah.
So if you have some new tool, some new software or application in your job, on the computer, on your phone, at the beginning you don't know how to use it correctly. It's so then you've got to start using it and start trying to. It's hard to think of another word than figure out. No,
yeah, you can work out something as well. Of
yeah,
course.
Work
you
out. You've got to work out or figure out how to use it correctly. So you explore
yeah.
it, you use it, you practice until you've. So I suppose the problem is you don't know how to use the application correctly, and
yeah.
figuring it out as you learn by trial and error or making mistakes
yeah.
or somebody training you or how to use it correctly, and you become familiar. We had this in a previous episode, no? To
yes, we did. Yes, absolutely. Yes, yes.
Yourself with something new.
Yeah.
So it could be a situation, could be a thing like a new software program that you
yeah.
need to be able to figure out how to use it correctly, or yeah, it's finding kind of, a solution to a problem.
Yeah, it's so, kind of almost yeah. the opposite of being taught something, right? It's kind mm. of like, in a way, is where you are independent. You're trying to, you don't have a teacher who's going to tell you what to do exactly. It might be like you download an app, as you were mentioning, and you don't know exactly how to use a particular app. Once you've downloaded it, you have to figure it out, right? You have to press some buttons
yeah.
and work out how all of the different functions
yeah.
work, right?
You don't have a manual or instructions.
Absolutely, yeah.
And you've got to figure it. Well, there's an expression of figure it out for yourself. I'm not going to
yes.
give you the answer. Sometimes
sure.
teachers say that, in fact, that they'll say,
yep,
well,
they
okay,
do.
I'll give
Absolutely,
you a certain
right,
amount yeah. of information, but then you have to figure out this thing for yourself, which is a process of your mind, which is part of the education process. Now you've got to learn techniques or how to solve the problem yourself, not always the teacher giving you the answer.
Yes, kind of being like an autonomous mm. learner in some way, you know?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
You've got to figure it out for yourself or figure
yeah.
out how to do something. So you're using
yeah.
your intelligence to investigate or practice and
yeah.
find the answer to the solution.
Yeah. And the example we came up here was, it took me years to figure out how social media really works. Or so, yeah, I mean, social media is a good one because it can take a long time to really figure out a particular type of social media works and how you can make it work into your benefit, right? In my particular case, obviously, most of our listeners probably come from LinkedIn or have heard or seen some of my posts on LinkedIn. And it took me a long, long time to really figure out how LinkedIn, you know, works and how you can really get your message across and how people can see your post more, all of that type of stuff. It takes a long time. Yeah.
It's a gradual learning process.
That's right.
But you're learning that yourself, you know, without anyone telling you. Well, you could ask advice and other people can give you advice.
Yeah.
And you can accept it or not. But you're basically evolving and adapting and getting better at using it. And that process is figuring it out.
It's kind of like an expression that's kind of similar to the plane that we mentioned before. It's kind of like there's a learning curve, right? There's a learning curve, which is kind of very interesting as well. It's kind of like similar to that plane movement that we were talking about before. It's kind of like as you progress at the beginning, it's kind of quite slow, but then bit by bit you kind of like you get better and better almost exponentially. Right,
so, I was going to say exponential. Yes.
Yeah.
Quicker and quicker as it progresses.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. Good. And then the last one, last but not least, as they say in English, right? To fall through, right? So let's try to explain what fall through means, Alistair.
Well, you can fall through a window, and this is the literal meaning of it. And there are many ways you can fall. So in English, we have the verb fall, and then we add several prepositions. I can think 6, 7 off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Going back to a previous episode.
Yeah, off the top of your head, yeah.
Yeah, explaining the way you fall. So fall through a window, for example.
Yeah.
From one side to the other. Yeah. But in this case, it's nothing to do with how you're falling through a window or anything else. It's, for example, well, I imagine you have an example to read out that will explain.
I do. Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. Yes. The deal fell through after we showed them the numbers. Okay. Mm.
So you're not physically falling in any sense through anything.
No, absolutely not. No. So in this particular case, yeah, you're talking about a deal, which is obviously a very important word to know in business English. A deal that maybe was almost finished, had been almost completed. There were some loose ends. Esto también es super importante. It's kind of a very interesting expression, right? Loose ends, which means a few things. Yeah, but you basically just got a few things to finish at the end of the process, and then suddenly the whole deal falls through, which means that because of those little details, suddenly there was like a little bit of a disagreement, and in the end, it just didn't happen. And I presume, you know, this can a good example of this is kind of when football players get transferred from one team to another, right? Which is like you think that everything's going to happen and everything's going to work, and then in the end, it doesn't go through and the player stays at the
often at the last minute, right? No, the deal fell through at the last second, the last minute, because finally they couldn't agree on the salary or whatever the conditions of the contract.
Yeah.
So it looked like it was going to happen and all the media were basically saying, yeah, this is a done deal, it's going to happen, this player is moving to this club for X millions, but something happens in the last minute, something they can't agree on, they can't finalize the deal and sign it. And it falls through, and that player then, especially it's at the end of the transfer deadline, so maybe it's, you know, 1 minute to midnight on the last day of the transfer, what do they call it, transfer window?
Another window, you fall through the window.
Oh, well, it fell through the window. And obviously it's too late to get a transfer to any other team, because now you do it till the next window opens in whenever, Christmas, if it's the summer. So that player then ends up staying at their original club and not moving, because the deal fell through in the last moment. It's often last-minute things, isn't it?
Something seems like
it's going to happen. It seems sure, like a business deal is all, you just have to actually, you know, sign the contract.
Yeah.
But then the last minute, for some reason, it doesn't happen. So it falls through.
It's a good example of football,
all the time, every summer we have the same, you know, this transfer or this deal fell through at the last minute.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. Good. Okay. Well, that is kind of interesting in itself. And certainly when we were talking about fall through, we, and as you mentioned just there, Alistair, was the fact that lots of different prepositions can go with fall and they can be particularly confusing. And so that's why we were thinking that maybe next week our episode might be related to all the different prepositions that can go with fall, because I think that really needs to be cleared up for a lot of people. No question about it. I know a lot of people who have like a C1 level and they still get confused with fall over, fall through, fall down.
Off, fall down, yeah. Fall over.
I mean, it's just crazy. It's just crazy. Yeah. So we should definitely try to make that as clear
Dedicate
as we can.
An episode to that.
Absolutely.
All
Absolutely.
The ways that you can fall in English.
That's right. That's right.
Very precisely.
Good. Yeah. Fantastic. So there you go. 5 different phrasal verbs that you can use in business context. We thought they were kind of particularly interesting and particularly noteworthy. And what we'd like to do now is just have a little bit of listener feedback, just very quickly, if we can. Alistair, in particular, we had Jorge from Argentina. He mentioned something related to the baja, right?
Yeah, I think it was episode 7, perhaps, a long time ago, it seems.
Yeah.
We did an episode and it was like the difficulties of translating into English the concept of baja and alta. Mm. Baja de enfermedad, baja de maternidad. And we came up with, I think, things like maternity leave, sick leave, or to be off work, sick. And this person said, oh, he was listening to that episode and said, alta, yes, but he disagreed, said baja is not used in that way. And he suggested that a better translation would be licencia de enfermedad or licencia de maternidad, or maybe permiso was another. And it immediately occurred to me that perhaps this person was not from Spain. So I actually asked him, where are you from? Are you from Spain? And he said, no, I'm Argentinian. And he lives in New Zealand, in fact. And they said, ah, that's probably because in Spain, definitely, because we've lived here many years. Definitely Spanish people in Spain do use baja with that sense. And obviously in Argentina and perhaps in other South American countries, maybe that is not used in the same way. So in Argentina, at least, Jorge informs us that that would be a licencia or a permiso and not a baja. So it's just to clear that up, that when we said baja, that seems to be referring to Spanish in Spain, which
in Spain,
often
yes,
is the
absolutely.
Case because we live here. So we're often unaware of when there are differences between Spanish here in Spain and Spanish in other Spanish-speaking countries.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, the same can happen to us in terms of the difference in terms of English between the UK or America or wherever it might be, right?
We can certainly dedicate perhaps some episodes in the future to some of those differences between American
absolutely.
And British English, of which there are many, and spelling and various things, pronunciation, etc.
Yeah. Okay. Fantastic. Thank you very much for that, Alistair. Super interesting to talk about that listener feedback. And as usual, if any of our listeners do have any questions, do get in touch with us. You'll definitely find the email address in the show notes. So go and find that absolutely and send us any questions that you might have. It does help us a lot in terms of thinking about what we could potentially help you with. So do feel free, as we say in English, to get in touch with us. Now I'll just do a quick summary of the particular episode that we've just done, which is all about 5 particular phrasal verbs that are useful for business. We had number 1, which is to step down, which is essentially very similar to resign, but we kind of came up with the fact that it's slightly different. It's mostly related to the idea that you are just stepping down from a top position. You're moving down one position and maybe not relinquishing, which is a very specific word, obviously, in English, some of your power, right? So you may step down and then afterwards you may resign depending on the context, okay? And that's very commonly used in context of politicians and CEOs, etc., etc. Okay. The second one was to branch out, which was super interesting, certainly to cover that word branch. And to branch out in this particular case is where a business may want to go into a different sector. They may want to bring out new products. They may even want to go to another country and develop their sort of range of products in that particular country, right? So to branch out is also very, very useful in a particular business context. context, especially if the business is expanding and wants to, you know, look for diversify. New horizons. Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm. Diversify. Absolutely. Takeoff is very interesting, obviously very much connected to the idea of a plane taking off. But in this particular case, we connected it to the whole idea of a product taking off, which basically means that it is super successful after the launch. Either a product can either be sort of successful or maybe not successful or average. But certainly if you say that a product has taken off, that certainly means that it's following that line of the way a plane moves, which is high up into the sky and is kind of almost exponential in its growth. Okay, so that's a product taking off, which is a super nice way to talk about a particular performance of a specific type of product or anything that a business might be connected with in terms of different types and ranges of products, right? Number four was to figure out, which is basically to find a solution, often a solution related to a situation where you find the solution yourself. There's nobody teaching you. You can figure out, if you have to figure something out, you go and look for the answers and then you maybe bring back those answers to your boss or to your team or whatever it might be, right? So to figure out is a super useful expression in terms of expressing to somebody else that you have gone out and found the solution and, you know, without anybody really particularly helping you, you've kind of gone and done the work yourself. And then the last one was to fall through, which you kind of connected to business deals falling through at the last minute, which is suddenly when you think everything's going to work. And in the end, just a few details didn't really connect at the end. And then the deal falls through. And we kind of mentioned also that fall has a lot of other prepositions that you can use with it. And we will be looking potentially at those in the next episode because they are so, so confusing. So I think that's a summary, right? I think that's the summary of the five.
Very well,
right,
summarized. Alistair?
Thank you very much. So Alistair, thank you very much for your time. Super useful, super interesting, really, really, really interesting. And I hope that our explanation of these phrasal verbs that can be so difficult to remember, right? They are so difficult, at least give some context to our listeners. And hopefully that those little stories will remain in their minds, right? And it's, you know, just useful to have those at your disposal, right?
Yeah. And thank you, Dan. It'd be very interesting and a pleasure as always talking to
Fantastic.
You.
Fantastic. Great, great. So I'll see you again next week.
Yeah. See you next week. Ciao.
All right. See you then. Bye-bye. Mm. Cheers.